It snowed last week, and I don't know about you guys, but it took us a full day just to get my driveway clean, you know, with a walk-behind blower. So you know how, you know, laborious that can be, how challenging that can be. So what I thought we would do is go through Revelation, but I also want to get into God's Word a little deeper, okay? And I want to start off with, I want you to switch to your, go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. Because as we read through Revelation, it can be quite confusing. And it does have a blessing to not only the reader, but also the hearer. But as we read through the seven trumpets and the seven vials and the seven, when we read through all of this, it can be a little bit of a confusion there. So what I would like to try to do is to look at God's Word a little differently, and I want to use Proverbs as our launching point today. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. Okay? Proverbs, whoops, don't you dare jump off of here. Okay. Okay, chapter 25, verse 2. Okay? It says, and it actually, the title of the chapter is Relationship with Kings. Okay? And verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." Throughout the Word of God, there are a lot of hidden nuggets that will help you navigate through some of the hard text in God's Word. The book of Genesis is the foundational book that, using Genesis as, you know, a template to read through the rest of God's Word, is pretty cool. Let me give you an example of that. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, for instance, let's see, I think it's chapter 2. Okay. Okay, let's go to actually chapter 3. And we're going to look at chapter 3 after they sinned, okay? I'm going to go to chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. I want you to pick up something there real quick here. Okay? Let's see here. Okay. "Unto the woman he said, I will," back up, go to verse 15. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." Okay? "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, a lot of people just read through that and they think, okay, that was Christ being crucified. That is absolutely correct. But what is the seed? The woman doesn't have the seed. Okay? The seed actually is the male. The woman doesn't have the seed, but God put that seed in Eve to carry down all through the generations, through Israel, through all of the tribes, if you would, through Judah, into Christ, into Mary. Okay? He saved that. He actually protected them, if you would, protected her all the way down through the generations until Christ was born. So that word seed, if you follow that through God's Word, it will come to pass that it'll make some interesting clarifications here. And I want to switch over that seed. Let's go follow. What does that seed actually do? Go to Luke. I want you to go to Luke chapter. And again, this is part of learning to get into God's Word in a different way. Go to Luke chapter 8. Verse 11. What is that seed? Luke chapter 8, verse 11. And again, because we missed last week, we're kind of just getting into some of the Bible study habits here of what's that? That's bam, right on, Pam. You're absolutely right. The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God, we know that in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, the Word was God, and he dwelt among us. So the seed is Christ. It's talking about Christ all the way through. The book of Revelation is the revealing of Christ. It's the revealing of who he is. Okay? So we see him in Genesis, and when you start getting into the Revelation, we'll look at that here in a second, but there's 400 in... Where are we at here, Bill? There's over 404 verses on the screen here. I think we can see it up there. 404 verses in the book of Revelation, and 278 of them make some allusion to the Old Testament. So when you're reading through God's Word, don't just read it superficially. Read it more in depth. And I'm going to show you something at the end of this training session, or the teaching here, that really blew my mind, and it has to do with chapter 7 of Revelation. Chapter 7 of Revelation is unique, and a lot of the names in Genesis are there intentionally, and they are associated with characteristics of those names. The characteristics of that name is right there in the book of Genesis, and we'll show you that here in a second. But as you're reading through God's Word and you stumble across these areas that are confusing, go back into the Old Testament. Find other scriptures that connect that thought to them. For instance, when we get into the book of Revelation, we look at all of the, seven trumpets, the seven veils, all of the things that are going to be happening. What in the world does that mean, seven? What does seven have to do with anything? We go back to Genesis. What happened on the seventh day? That was the end. That was the finish. That was God's resting. He stopped at that point. That's Revelation. Revelation, all the sevens in that Revelation was like, there's 54 sevens in the book of Revelation alone. And what that means is that's the termination. That's Christ's final termination. That's how he is revealed in Revelation finally. And then all of these other things that happen. As we go through Revelation, we talk about one-third of the green's going to be off. One-third of this is going to be gone. One-third of that. Why one-third? Could God have created, could he have destroyed it all in Revelation like he did in Genesis? He destroyed everything in Genesis, right, with the flood. It was gone, all of it, except for Noah and his family. There were only eight on board. By the way, just for listening and dancing pleasure, the number of eight is the number of new beginnings, okay? But he saved Noah and his family. Could he have done that in Revelation also? Yes, but I really struggled with this. Why just a third? Why just a third? Because it's God's grace. People will be seeing these things going on. They will understand what happened. They'll understand that you got raptured. We've got raptured. We're out of here. Now we begin to see these things. So God only does it by one. He did one third. And the rest of them, it's God's grace and his mercy giving them that second chance, giving them that one more chance. And praise God for that. He is merciful. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. All. It's like, man, that's why. That's why only a third, okay? And is the judgment falling? Yes, because when Christ takes us out of here, he, in Thessalonians, says, he that hinders, once we're removed, okay, we are, the Holy Spirit in us, is stopping God's wrath. We are holding back. We are the dam for God's wrath, okay? And when we are raptured out of here, his wrath is going to be poured out. But then it's going to be poured out one third at a time, third at a time, third at a time, to give those who don't know him or that want to know him a chance. Lord, bless your holy name for that, okay? It isn't all gloom and doom. And it can be confusing because we're going to be out of here, to be honest with you, okay? So, getting back to Bill's teaching here, what I did was I took just the intro to Revelation. I didn't do all, we have. I've got a whole binder at home with all of the ones that we printed out, and I think Linda's seen some of those. But I didn't go through all of the whole thing because of the time frame that we have here. But it was written between 95 and 96 A.D. We know what that is, okay? And it was on the island of Patmos, and I don't want to run through all of these in detail. I want to get to a couple of other high points here. John and Daniel were beloved. Why do you suppose John and Daniel were beloved? They were the only two. Daniel was under the law. What was John under? Grace. Right? Daniel was under the law. John was under grace. They're both beloved. The law and grace. Right? That's one. So in a unique way, that gives us, Revelation does give us an outline in verse 19. And it talks about that. And let's flip over to chapter 1, verse 19, Revelation. And I'm going to read some of this too before we... Okay, I'm going to back up here for a second here, and let's go, we're going to do chapter 1, picking up at verse 3. I want to pick it up at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Okay, when was John written? Between 95 and 96 A.D., why would he say the time is at hand? Interesting. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Okay? We don't know tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen a week from today or at any time. Okay? The Lord could call us home in a heartbeat without anything. So now is the time of salvation. So now is the time that he's talking about. So the things are at hand. So John to the seven churches. Why seven churches? Because that's basically, we'll get into that here in a second, okay? But he goes, which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. You ever know, what are the seven spirits of God? Remember we went back to Genesis and we looked at what the seed says. I want you to flip over to Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 2. You want to know what the seven spirits of God are? Isaiah tells us that. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Linda's probably already heard most of this. So Linda, I might call on you for help. Just kidding. Verse 2. Huh? Okay, in verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Here we go. The Spirit of wisdom, number one. Number two, understanding. Number three, the Spirit of counsel. Number four, the Spirit of might. Number five, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay, so the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. I don't know if that was seven. The Spirit of wisdom and Spirit of understanding, that's two. The Spirit of counsel and might, that's four. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Okay, that's six. Okay, there's one missing there. I missed it up. The fear of the Lord. But in verse two, it says, and shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So the seven spirits of the Lord, Revelation 1:4, actually, I had seven earlier, but I realized I may have made a mistake there. But six there. Okay. Spirit of wisdom. Yeah, upon him, the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah, you're right. That's the seventh. Okay. So there is seven there. So that's the seven there. And as we go through Revelation, the outline, let's go back to Revelation 1 again, please. I read this tonight and last night, and last week, and said, Lord, how do you want me to share this? He said, you just said, he that reads and hears. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Okay, that's what he said. All right, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, verse 5, chapter 1, and the first begotten of the dead, interesting, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, has made us kings and priests, and God and the Father, to be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also shall that pierced him shall all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It's kind of interesting. They shall see his piercings. So you know what that says? That says when you get your new bodies, when the Lord calls us home and you get a new body, there's only going to be one person in heaven that has wounds. And that's the Lord himself. And I don't know about you, but when you see those, I sincerely believe that we will be humbled by that. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is, and which is to come. And what's that last comment there? The what? Was he saying he was God? Yes. Christ is God in human form. Do you know that there is a man in heaven sitting on the throne? God himself, he became a man and dwelt among us, and he's a human being, okay? He's a man sitting on the throne, and he is God Almighty, and he says right here with John. And what's interesting is when you go through Zechariah or Psalms or Exodus or Genesis or Daniel or Ezekiel, Isaiah, when you go through these books, when you read through these, look for the quotes that are in Revelation, because I was curious, Lord, why all the quotes from the Old Testament? He goes, go back in time into Zechariah and read that portion of the text and see what they were going through and how the Lord was moving. That's what he's doing here. In the Psalms, okay, alluded to the particular in the hymns and prayers of Revelation, Exodus, the plagues described in Revelation mirror the plagues of Egypt. And that's fascinating because when you get into Genesis, going back, we don't have to go there right now, but you'll see that there's a lot of parallels in Genesis to Revelation. And it makes a complete circle. Okay? We got kicked out of the garden. But at the end of Revelation, there's a new heaven and a new earth. So it makes a complete turn. It makes a complete circle, if you would, coming back right to where God had planned it initially. Daniel, the apocalyptic visions and symbols in Revelation are similar to those of the book of Daniel. We went through the book of Daniel. Remember that? We didn't do, we kind of hit it cursory, on the top. But Daniel, there's a lot of the things in Daniel that really apply to today's world. And again, some of those quotes are in Revelation. So go back and going through Daniel and look for those quotes. So I encourage you, as you're reading through Revelation, if you see these quotes, go back and read those quotes that they made at that time in the book of Daniel or Exodus or Ezekiel or Isaiah. We just finished Isaiah, and I got to tell you, it was awesome. It was absolutely crazy. Furthermore, when we're talking about verse 9, Revelation, I, John, am your brother and companion in tribulation. Well, tribulation, hey, I don't want that. And in the kingdom of patience, as Jesus Christ was in the isle of that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I love this, guys. I am. You know what the word I am is in Hebrew? Ego emi. I think that's the most beautiful name in the world. I am. When Moses said, who shall I say sent me? When he's talking, God told Moses to go to Pharaoh. He goes, who shall I say sent me? He goes, tell him I am. Ego emi. I went, wow. Lord, that's the being one. The being, the eternal one. That's what that means. Saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Remember, we talked about the complete circle, right? Genesis back to Revelation, and that's where it goes. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, and Smyrna, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Okay, those are the seven churches. And here's what happened to John. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like one of the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girdle about the paps with a golden girdle. That description is in Ezekiel and Daniel. You will be able to pick that up. It's almost verbatim as what they're saying, as what John is saying here. 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool. Gray hair is a sign of wisdom. Did you know that? It's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign, yeah? Me too. I'm not too far behind you there, buddy. Okay. His feet like fine brass. What's brass? Symbol of judgment, right? Fine brass. And remember, in Genesis, you shall bruise his heel. He shall crush your head. Remember that? His heel, his feet. Okay? If you ever, I saw a picture once, you know, where they had these feet that looked like they were crucified, and you could see the gash on the front part of the foot, you know, just above the foot. But when the foot turned around, you could see the hole in the heel. And it fit right with Genesis. You shall bruise his heel. And I went, wow, Lord, you're awesome. Continuing on, in his right hand he had seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sunshine. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. That's the other thing. You know, when you go through the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, all the ones that did see Jesus, in Isaiah it says in chapter 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Okay, in other words, he was in awe. Isaiah was in awe. He wasn't, you know, and they were not perfect men. Because Isaiah in the next few verses says, I am a man of unclean lips. Okay? And you'll notice that when Isaiah fell down, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. When he fell down, do you know who made the move to make him pure? God did. Isaiah did nothing. God sent the angel with the coals on the tongs, took it off the altar, and touched his mouth. He said, now you're clean. That's the same what. Same thing he did for us. He reached out. He made us clean. So when I saw him, I fell dead, and he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Man, can you imagine when Jesus touches you like that and says, hey, hang in there, David. He says, I am he that lives and was dead. Now keep in mind, God is a spirit, right? You can't, your spirit is going to live for eternity. There isn't going to be any dead. So he had to be dead, the flesh, right? His body died, right? And he says, and I have the keys of death, of hell and death. Praise God. Guess what? If you are in him, guess who else holds the keys? Right? You have the keys. So I encourage you, when you're going through this, hang on just for a second here, let me make sure. When we're going through Revelation, don't get, you know, overwhelmed with confusion. What's going to happen? What's happening? What's going on? What's really going, like the church, different churches, and what's going on? You'll find that within those seven churches, there's behaviors within the churches today that are the same thing. When God talks about removing the candlestick, okay, in the seven churches, what does a candlestick really do? The candle lights is, it provides light in darkness. It is authority in darkness. It is power in darkness. I'm going to remove your candlestick. In other words, your church, the body, isn't going to have the power or the authority that I give it, because I'm going to take it. That's what he's talking about when he says, I will remove the candlestick from you if you don't repent. Okay? That's what he's talking about. And we do, we all do that. Okay? Sin separates me from God. Okay? He doesn't move, I move. Okay? And he doesn't like when I move. because he wants that relationship, and I want that relationship. Okay? When a church goes sideways, which they do, and they have today, they go sideways. I mean, we just talked to one lady. She's got a, well, no, I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, when the church goes sideways, they lose their authority. Okay? Then they have to go to something else. They have to go to, Lord forgive me, the prosperity gospel. They have to go to something else to keep the pews full. Okay? They lose their authority. And that's really, when the rapture happens, that's what's going to happen. The candle's going to be out. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to be, he'll still be here, but you and I are going to be gone. We are the ones that are holding back God's wrath. So, that being the case, verse 10 says, fear not those things which shall suffer, that you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison. And again, this goes back to Matthew 24. I don't have time to get into all of that right now because I want to go to what we're just looking at here on the screen real quick. But I encourage you, some of you will be cast into prison. You'll be tried. You'll have tribulation 10 days. And he that is faithful unto the end, I will give a crown of life. And that's the church Smyrna. And Bill went through all of those. I still have those notes on that. If you guys would like those notes, we'll give you copies of that. I want to kind of get to, because I want to keep this to an hour. I want you to go over to, I'm going to give you a little prelude to chapter 7. When we talked about those hidden nuggets, when we talked about in Proverbs 25:2, go to chapter 7 real quick, because you're going to get into that when Bill gets back. Chapter 7 and verse 5 beginning, okay? This is the 144,000. There's a lot of talk and a lot of words and a lot of things coming out, papers and what have you, the 144,000. There's a cult out there that believes they are part of the 144,000, and no, that is not correct, okay? In God's word, everything is put there for a purpose. It's strategically placed in that place for a reason. And when we see that, when we understand that, and we begin to see those nuggets that are there, it's mind-boggling how the Holy Spirit, well, had only by God. He's the only one that could have done that, you know, with all of the writings. So chapter 7, the 144,000, I'm going to go over that. And again, this is an example of Proverbs 25:2, which we started out with. So when it says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the joy of kings to find it out, right? Now, verse 5, I want you to pay close attention here. Verse 5, it says here, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Verse 6, of the tribe of Asher sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Finally, verse 7, the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000, the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000, the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000, and verse 8, and of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Notice they're all Jewish. In the wilderness, when the tabernacle was built, all the tribes had a specific place that they had to be around the tabernacle. And they had to be on cardinal points. They could not be south, southwest, well, you know, south, northeast, or whatever. It had to be cardinal points. North, east, south, west. Okay? Each tribe, there's three tribes on each cardinal point, making a total of 12. And that was their position. When they moved the tabernacle, they had to go back to those same positions. Because that's God's plan from the beginning, because it made a statement. And we can talk about the tabernacle a little another time. In this portion of Revelation, verse 5, it starts with Judah, Reuben, and Gad. Okay? And you'll notice that Genesis has the characteristic of those names. Each name. Notice the name Judah. What does that mean? In Genesis 29:35. If you look it up, it is praise the Lord. Reuben, Genesis 29:32 means, and this is the characteristic of Reuben, he has looked on my affliction. And I'll give you guys this. You can take it. I didn't make this. Chuck Missler put this together, and I thought it was just mind-boggling, and it fit right into what we talked about with the, with Proverbs 25:2. Gad, the definition of Gad is granted good fortune. That's in Genesis 30:11. And again, Genesis is the foundational book to understand the rest of God's word. If you understand Genesis, you'll understand a lot of the things that you're going to be, that's confusing. Because if you jump right in the middle of it, and you're going to go right over your head. So it does me anyway. Verse 6 talks about Asher. Happy am I as that. That's in Genesis 30:12. Naphtali, Genesis 30:8 is my wrestling. And then Manasseh means has made me forget my sorrow. That's Genesis 41:51. And then verse 7, Simeon, okay, means God hears me in Genesis 29:33. Levi, Genesis 29:34, that means has joined me, is Levi. Issachar means purchased me, Genesis 30, verse 18. Zebulun, Genesis 30, verse 20, exalted me. Joseph, Genesis 30, 24, means adding to me. Benjamin, in Genesis 35, 18, the son of his right hand. I want you to read that. Praise the Lord, he has looked on my affliction, granted good fortune. Happy am I, my wrestling has made me forget my sorrow. God hears me, has joined me, purchased me, exalted me, adding to me, what's the last part? The son of his right hand. You want to see those nuggets in the Bible? Study Genesis. When you see these verses in Revelation that don't make sense, go back to where you find them in the Old Testament and read through those. It all has God, everything is put in the Bible for our understanding. And now when I read Revelation, I understand what he's talking about when he says, when you read it, when you hear it, you'll get blessed, because we're digging out, the Holy Spirit is showing us what to expect. Not only what to expect, but what God's plan is once we're gone. And the Jews are going to be, I believe, the Jews are going to see this with the 144,000 that are sealed. They're going to understand this because they know the Torah. They know the Old Testament. They know the meanings of those names. In fact, if you really want a crazy road trip, go to Genesis 5. Go to Genesis 5. It makes a statement in Genesis 5 that I didn't bring that with me, but it talks about, I didn't bring that one with me. Yikes. But Genesis 5, those names all have a meaning and a characteristic. And when you put those names in chronological order, the fifth chapter of Genesis is odd because it talks about creation, talks about all the stuff that's going on. That's another thing, too. I'm going to give you a bunny trail. You ready for this? Do you know all the animals that Adam named? Right? Remember, all the animals came to Adam and he named them. Do you know that science has discovered that there is a strong possibility that those animals had, that they were there to help Adam, okay? Like if he got ill, you can get dogs, like if someone has epilepsy, right? You can have an animal with you, and it can tell when there's going to be a seizure, right? And they'll get on the chest, they'll knock it down, say, hey, sit, right? And I heard, like rattlesnakes, they can sense when there's like cancer in the body, okay? They can sense when there's a wound, right? And of course, now if they bite you, you're going to die. But prior to the fall, they were there to assist and to keep Adam well. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, there's no, science is the one that came up with that idea, but I thought that was pretty interesting. But anyway, getting back to the names. Chapter 5 is odd because all of a sudden you see these names in chapter 5 that they're in chronological order. And I'll give that to you on Sunday if you want. But in chronological, it makes a statement about Christ's return in that chapter 5 in just those names. And we saw in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 in Revelation, adding the son of his right hand, Israel is going to see that. They're going to know who the Messiah is. They're going to see him and going to go, wow, we didn't pick that up. So that being the case, it's fascinating. So back to Revelation and Genesis. There's a lot of things going on in Genesis. The world was cursed. The ground was cursed in Genesis 3:17. You don't have to write these down. I'll give them to you if you'd like. Daily sorrow, 3:17, sweat on the face. Okay, well, let me back up for a second. Cursed ground in Genesis 3:17. In Revelation 22:3, guess what? No more curse. Remember I said the full circle, right? Full circle, right? Daily sorrow in Genesis, yep. And there's no more sorrow in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Sweat on the face. You're going to be, by the sweat of your brow, you shall till the land, what God told Adam. And redeemed world, there's no more tears. Thorns and thistles you'll reap, but there's no more pain in Revelation. Eating herbs of the field, 3:18, but there's going to be 12 manner of fruits on the trees. Okay? Return to the dust. That's Adam. That's where we're going, to return to the dust. But there's no more death in Revelation 21. Coats of skin was made of them, but you folks are going to be dressed in, ready for this, fine linen, white and clean. Understand that word linen, because it's critical when you get into the Old Testament. Again, going back and looking at these foundational points, the high priest had linen. Why linen? Not wool, not cotton, linen. Because it's no sweat. There's no perspiration. In other words, you don't have to work for your salvation. He's already done it. And that's what he's given you, that white linen. He's done it. So that's what linen does. Satan opposes in Genesis, and then he gets banished in Revelation. And he's kept from the tree of life, Adam is, okay? But then in Revelation, we have access to the tree of life. When we stop and think about the eternity of all of this, when we stop and think about this, what's the end game? Paul says, I press on for the high calling. I press on for the mark. I keep my eye on the prize. That's where we should keep our eyes on the prize. What is that prize? It's being with Christ for eternity. It's being in his presence. It's being just at his feet. And he says, this is the joy in Revelation when he sees all of these things coming to pass. Woohoo! We're not going to be here for one. Okay. Anyway, Genesis, they were banished from the garden, and then, of course, they got free entry into the city in Revelation. Redeemer is promised in Genesis. Remember the seed of the woman? And redemption is accomplished in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. Okay? Evil is continually, and then nothing is going to be defiled in Revelation. And the seed of the woman, we found that out, 3:15. And it's a root and offspring of David. And, of course, cherubim are guarding the guard in Genesis, and angels are invited in there. So, in the chronological framework of Revelation, I'll give it just briefly here. Chapters 1 through 3 is the church age. Okay? We really don't know what the duration of the church age is. This is the gap in Daniel that we talked about. Okay, the church age, chapters 4 through 19. That's what Bill's going to be covering next next week. Okay, not the whole section, but beginning in that area. Chapter 4 through 19 is called the judgment age in Revelation. That's where a lot of the judgments are happening. And that's going to be, ready? 1,000 years. That's during the judgment age. And then chapter 21 and 22 is the eternal age, or the endless years with the Lord himself. As far as the sevens go, there's 54 occurrences. And again, seven just means the completeness. God rested on the seventh day. He gave it to us on the seventh day, and he said, he's done. It's finished. And guess what? Revelation, at the end of Revelation, it is finished. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And all the memories and things that we have that really were painful here on this planet won't exist. Ha. Man, that's going to be cool. And it's going to be like, okay, Lord, now I understand. Seven candlesticks. We talked about the candlesticks. The stars. Talked about angels, the churches and the seven spirits. Seven lamps, seven seals, seven horns, seven eyes, seven angels. These are all terms of completeness, okay? Seven thunders, 7,000. Seven heads, seven crowns, seven angels, seven plagues, seven veils, seven mountains, and seven kings. I mean, there's a ton of sevens, and it would be, you know, going back to finding some of those through the tribulation. You can go back through, you know, some of the divisions of the church. Well, I'm not going to get into that detail there, but I want to close with this. The outline of the book, you guys, here we go. The things which you've seen, which we talked about, Patmos, okay, just briefly. The things which are, which is the seven churches that he's addressing. And the next section is the things which shall be. The throne room set in heaven. And by the way, flip over to... Let's see, make sure I get it right here. Give me just a second here, folks. Gotta find this real quick. Did you know that it was prophesied that John would be one of the ones in heaven? And you know who prophesied that? Christ did. And the Mount of Transfiguration. See if we get it here. Nope. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he said basically in Matthew's Gospel, let's see if I can find it here real quick. Might be 25. Sorry for the delay here. Thought I had it written down, but I didn't. Darn. You can look it up in Matthew. Go to the Mount of Transfiguration. It's chapter 17. And we'll pick it up in chapter 16, verse 28. Actually, go back to 27. Verse 27, chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. We found that out in Revelation, right? Okay. Verily I say unto you, you ready for this? There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay? Pretty straightforward. Keep in mind that there's no chapters. There are no chapters in the Bible, no verses in the Bible. Okay, up until I think the 1700s when they did this. So after 6 days, he took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up into high mountain, okay? How many are there? Peter, James, and John. And the previous verse says, there's some of you standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. I believe that is a prophecy concerning John, the Apostle John, in the book of Revelation. God showed him what's going on, and he brought him up to heaven. Remember, he brought him up into heaven, he saw the door open in Revelation. So it was all prophesied well ahead of time. So in closing, I'm not going to go through the idealist, the preterist view. These are just views of the book of Revelation, which Bill went through, historicist and the futurist. So The one thing that's interesting about Revelation, and by the way, here's the 144,000 part of it that we just went over. One thing about the book of Revelation, there's a lot of different teachings on it, okay? And I believe, for one, that most of Revelation, if you get into Genesis and you understand what's going on with Genesis, it sets the foundation for everything, all the prophecies going through Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Jeremiah, you know, all the way through. It sets the foundation. It sets the pace, if you would, or it sets the tempo for understanding those prophecies and what's going on. And then in summation, it goes into Revelation, and it goes, whoa, look at that. It clarifies it. John, we talked about that. There's the name of Christ occurs 7 times, and Jesus and Spirit both occur 14 times in Revelation. Lamb occurs 28. So it's about him. And, of course, we went through the 666, symbolic, triple play, incomplete, divinely incomplete, or diabolical. And 6 is the number of man, by the way. But anyway, so I didn't want to take a whole lot of time to go through all of what Bill went through. And there's a list of all the different 7s that he's going to be talking about in the future. So any thoughts, any questions, any comments? We got 10 minutes left. When he's talking about, again, the outline, how the whole book of Revelation breaks down, this is ideal. This is a very, very good outline if you get a chance to go through it. Each church, chapter 2, chapter 3, the vision of God, the Lamb, and the scroll with the 7 seals. That's the other thing. You know, when Bill is talking about who is able to open the scrolls, to break the scrolls and release it, do you know that Paul talks about that? When you are in Christ, you are sealed in him. No one can open that seal. He sealed you. He sealed me. We belong to him. He's the only one that has the seal, and he's got the keys to death and hell. He's got all of that, and he paid it all. And when I read through, when we got into Isaiah, over and over and over again in Isaiah, God is the one that moved. God is the one. In Genesis, when he was dealing with Abraham, okay, he made a covenant with Abraham. God made the covenant. Abraham didn't make the covenant. Abraham didn't say, you know what, God, I'm a great guy today, you know, so you got to at least bless me with something, right? No. Nope. Abraham was fallen, just like you and I are. But you see, just like he did, when I said about, you know, one-third of the green, one-third of the earth is going to be this, one-third of this, one-third, the other two-thirds is the Holy Spirit crying out to those who are left, wake up. Wake up, church. Your candle, your light, your authority is in you. I put that, God says, I put that here in you. But when we turn and think, make it from work to works, or when we turn and we think we can do it, when we say, well, I'm not a good, no. We talked about in our men's group down there. You cannot change yourself. Only Christ can change us inside. And if I could change myself, he would have never had to come to die for me. He would have never had to pay for me, right? I can't do it. That's why the thief on the cross said the same thing that we all say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the two-thirds that are going to be left during the tribulation period, those people that are going to be killed for Christ's name, you know, Lord, have mercy on us. We are sinners. They're going to recognize that. And the Jews are going to recognize that when they see the 144,000 of the tribes that are listed and they understand what those names mean. They're going to say, wow, Lord, we messed up. Have mercy on us. So Christ, it's all about him from the beginning to the end. In the beginning, God. That's all you have to know. In fact, we went through that too in one of our studies. We talked about that, and I think the Hebrew language, has, the Hebrew alphabet is 22 letters. Each letter has a pictograph associated with that letter. Okay? The first letter, in Genesis, this Bereshit is the word Bereshit, beginnings. That's what that's called, Genesis, beginnings. That word's Bet, Resh, Aleph. It goes Bet, Resh, Aleph, Mem, Tav. Tav is the last one. The pictures that you see are, the first are the family pictures or son. Okay, the first is the son, next is God or the son of God. And then the next picture is destroy. Okay, the next picture is is a hand. And the final letter is a T or a cross. The son of God will destroy or sacrifice himself by his own hand on the cross. That's in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning. That's what that is, Bereshit in Hebrew. I went, folks, I got to tell you, when you start looking for those nuggets, when you start looking at, you know, Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's our joy and our blessing to search it out and say, wow, Lord, because it strengthens us. It's no more superficial reading. It's intimate. It's movement. It's the Holy Spirit teaching us as we go through these things. So I encourage you, when you come across something that you don't understand, research it. I mean, I was going to try to get through all of the, I looked and there was like 3 pages of direct quotes, the 200 and what is it from in Revelation. There's 200 and some of them direct quotes from the Old Testament. And when I go back into those areas where those quotes were taken from and you read what was going on at that time, they were in captivity. They were in turmoil. They were in trials. They had idolatry, sin. They had all those things going on, just like we do. You say, well, I don't have idolatry. Yeah, we do. Yep, we do. In fact, we're going to be coming up on a holiday here very soon. So, okay. So, anyway, any thoughts? Going once, going twice. If you want a copy of this, I'd be more than happy to get, well, you, this is Bill's teachings here, but. You're doing that? Are you? Okay, because we got a bunch of those already printed out, too. So. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, one thing, too, I'll share this with you guys. Jeremiah. I sent this to Bill. Did you know that Bill's was prophesied in Jeremiah? Now watch. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Did you know that your pastor was prophesied there? Jeremiah 3, chapter 3, verse 15. Anybody read it? Go for it. Word in the King James is pastors. I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. How many times does Bill stand up here and share that? Is it? Yeah. And then, of course, you follow that up when Jesus says, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When Bill teaches, when Bill shares what the Holy Spirit's given him, I got to tell you, folks, I almost sit there in that chair and I almost want to jump up, go, hallelujah, praise God. But I'm going to, on Sunday, I was going to share that with him and with Heidi with a card. So don't let that out of the bag until you hear it. It's probably already in. Huh? All right.
You know what's really cool is when you hear people, you know, like Darian said, I have learned more in this last year than I have the whole time reading the Bible. And I can tell you, when he came, I thought I knew the Bible. He's given us new insights. You know, you look at it differently, and then you find out, wow, how did he get that nugget? Now I want to find out how he got it. You know, so it encourages you to read more.
Yep.
Hebrews
says the word of God is a living word. Okay, a living word doesn't mean, you know, right now, this moment in time, we are living. Okay, it doesn't mean about yesterday or tomorrow or anything. Right now, that's when he's ministering to us at this moment. And I can tell you, as long as, you know, the Lord's been in our lives, now this goes back to the 70s. I mean, probably before Kelly was born. But... But there's not a time when I've picked up the Bible, Dennis, seriously, and not seen something totally different. And Bill will tell you that. Okay, the more you get into it, the crazier cool it gets. Like we just saw up there, you know, 144,000. Are you kidding me? Okay, when you get into the sciences, like we talked about in our Bible study in our house, when you get into the sciences, it's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling how God has got everything is created by him and for him and through him. Okay, it's like, wow, Lord, we talked about the atoms. We talked about, you know, how everything fits together. Everything's designed by him. So anyway, so you can't do that. So you can't read without jumping in the middle of it and going, wow, I never saw that one. And, of course, there's one dad that said, Jeremiah, while we're there, Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number. Don't forget that one. Jeremiah 33:3 is God's phone number. Aha! Thank you. Rady, you are awesome, man. Praise God for that. All right, well, let's close in prayer and get you guys out of here at a reasonable time. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and I apologize we didn't get open your word, pray before we got into your word. But, Lord, your Holy Spirit's the one that does the teaching, Father. We don't. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon your word exceedingly, Lord, as we heard tonight. Lord, we just ask that you, as we go out of this place, Lord, that we have a new perspective, Lord, and a new burning desire, Jesus, to seek you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Father. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory, and we ask you to be with Heidi and Bill, Lord, as they're on their trip, Lord. Give them that rest, Father, in you that they need. Lord, we just ask your anointing upon this fellowship, upon this church, Lord, upon your word. And Father, you be glorified in all these things. Father, you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. As we praise you and thank you, Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.